Welcome to I Hate Critics 1994. I am professional film critic Sean Patrick. With me is MJ.
Hello.
And Amy.
Yeah, hi.
And the dog.
And the dog.
The dog.
And I decided to bark the second we turned the podcast.
Look, he's a demon, but he likes to sit in my lap. And any dude who wants to sit in my lap is okay with me.
Amy, the show is brought to you by...
The Pontiac Fiero, the demon dog of cars.
Excuse me, that's the wrong read. Accidental fires are not our concern.
Oh, that one. God, they keep updating the script, like, up to the minute.
Their lawyers keep updating the script.
That's
it's important
true.
To note.
Well, but the lawyers aren't paying our bills, are they? Really. Yeah, you know... I love me a Pontiac Fiero. And you know what? Guess what? We're giving one away this week on the podcast.
Oh, wow.
Can you believe it?
How do you enter?
Well, all you have to do is listen to the podcast to the very end, and I'll give you that information at the end of the podcast.
Wow.
I know.
Whoa.
Get ready.
Whoa.
But until then.
This comes from directly from the Fiero factory.
Correct.
In Appalachia, Italy.
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah. You're welcome. And I'm just going to tell you right now, I mean, it came out of my own pocket making this happen. So and we all know I'm pretty fucking loaded. So in more ways than one, let's talk about the paper.
The paper is a piece of paper that gets folded into a plane that you throw across a room. And
it's also something that you wrap fish in. Or if you want fish and chips, you just put it all together in a folded up newspaper.
Oh, it's a fish wrap.
It's a fish wrap.
You can also, it's also a good way to tell somebody that somebody's dead. You wrap a fish in a newspaper and you deliver
it. You just throw it at them?
Luca Brasi sleeps with the fishes.
So not the paper we're talking about. No.
No, it's Ron Howard's poorly titled The Paper. He likes it obvious, you know. Michael Keaton plays the assistant editor.
Yeah.
What is his name? No, I'm kidding.
It's Henry. I probably am the only one out of the three of us that actually liked this movie.
I did not like this movie. I liked this movie enough.
Give me Michael Keaton in anything, and I love him.
Ron Howard's a good director.
But he's not great, is he?
He comes up short. I mean, I like Apollo 75.
I would like Ron Howard more if he'd stop pushing Clint Howard on me. Because I never asked for him in a film, and yet he's always there. Nothing against you, but just wear a fucking hat. Just wear a hat. And it's the paper. You could have worn one of those hats with like the little press stickers on the inside of it. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Yeah.
Just Clint Howard just catching shrapnel here on the show.
You're right. We didn't put you on the cunt list. I'm just saying, wear a hat. More often.
You just have some advice.
That's all. That's all. Gentle advice from Amy. Mm. I love you. I love you, Clint. But stop coming into my movies.
He just keeps sort of showing up.
Yeah.
No Rance, though, his dad.
Rance was in it.
He was? I didn't see Rance.
Rance was in there. I don't know, but I saw him in the credits. Unless Ron just said, you know what? We're just going to credit you. Or, you know, you're going to be in it. We're just going to credit you. No, I think he was in the bathroom, wasn't he?
Oh, I think he could be.
Yeah, in the bathroom.
Was, all right. Yeah. So
anyway.
Two guys get shot in a neighborhood in Williamsburg, in Brooklyn. They don't touch the gun, which is thankfully the only good thing that happens in that is that they don't touch the gun. Touches on a big news story that the New York Sun, our newspaper, misses on the first day. So they try and catch up the second day. And in doing so, they may have uncovered a conspiracy involving the mob that led to these two guys being killed. But of course, the other papers are running with two young black men who get arrested. And I guess... The movie hasn't aged well, but again, even at the time, because it's too idealistic, because it's painting too happy a picture of like, I have a hard time believing that a New York tabloid is going to lose thousands of dollars just to get it right. I don't trust that highly idealized idea that they would concern themselves too much with it being correct on that day. Like, yeah, we get through it. Like her. Like Alicia, Glenn Close's character, I mean, she's only doing this for petty spite, as we learn, but But I think moreover, though, she would just be like, they would have put that thing to bed about 7 o'clock and not thought about it the rest of the day.
Right.
And like, get that story ready for tomorrow, maybe. We'll see what happens.
But that would look so bad on them to run a gotcha story. And then the next morning go, whoops, sorry.
And yet they do it every day at the New York Daily News. And the other reputable New York Post.
Yeah, right.
Like, do you think, honestly, they would give a fuck about being wrong? When have they ever given a fuck about being wrong?
I only read page 6.
I think they coined the term Biden crime family.
Oh, I love that for them. That like, makes sense.
I don't think they care about facts.
Oh, they're good friends with Trump, then, eh? Trump sanctioned. New York Post.
So if I've got any issues with it, it's just that it's a little bit overly idealized.
Pie in the sky kind of
stuff. Especially, I mean, we're talking, those in the real world, do you honestly think they go looking for anything beyond those two young black kids? Those kids end up going to trial before anybody figures out they're not guilty.
Oh, no shit. No shit. Yeah, I mean... Yeah,
maybe I'm being too cynical. Maybe I'm too cynical for this movie, but
I think you're right. I think that, well, again, it's like I liked this movie because I adore the cast. Mm-hmm. I love the cast. And I think if we would have stuck with just, I thought we were going to get grittier with talking. And like, I mean, again, we got two young black men mm-hmm. being blamed for a crime that they didn't do. Of course. And we couldn't get grittier with that. Like that, I think I was hoping for that a little less. Everything else, like I don't give a fuck that McDougal is a loose cannon. Randy Quaid, we all fucking know is a loose
cannon.
There's
an element of this also that feels like a pilot for a TV show where they've got to introduce the characters. And
okay, I was actually going to say there are a few Aaron Sorkin moments.
It's very
if
Sorkin-y.
Not, yeah, yeah, I mean, like really Sorkin-y.
Aaron Sorkin-y.
Like really, really pleased with itself.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And yeah, I mean, and again, no, I like Aaron Sorkin. Don't get me wrong, but
I don't. But
I know you
fine.
Don't, but I do. But.
The smug, self-satisfied quality of a Sorkin.
Yeah.
I guess that's kind of implied when you say Sorkin.
Right. Pretty much.
Smug and self-satisfied. Michael Keaton is the crusading journalist. He's the assistant editor. He's the one making it so at least we can try and believe in the ethics of these characters, because he seems like the one ethical guy, except when he's on a job interview, which we have to see. For some reason, we need this plot in the movie. He steals a lead from this newspaper that he's interviewing with and gives that to his people so that they can steal the story.
Right.
But again, it feels like a side quest. Again, like you could cut this movie down to a tight 90 minutes.
Easily. You're right.
Like, did
there's
we
a
need-
lot of needless
the
stuff.
The Spalding Gray stuff was kind of funny, I guess.
Well, and it was his last picture, wasn't it?
Oh.
Yeah. That aside, nothing against Spalding Gray. But and as much as I love Marissa Tomei, did we really need all that? Did we need her to be pregnant? Did we need all that? I don't feel like we did. It would have been cooler if like, she worked for like another newspaper, but they were married. And then she helped get some leads and then throw them over. You know what I mean? Like that, I think that would have been a more interesting story than having her be pregnant. And maybe. Almost lose a baby in the end.
Yeah.
So.
And then, like, maybe if hers wasn't going to run the correct story because it was, like...
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so she's just like, hey, this story really needs to be written. Maybe your people would actually go with this.
Yes.
Smaller.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly.
That's maybe a better idea.
Yeah. Like, no, it is, because we just said it.
We came up with it.
It's obviously a good story. Yeah. Thank you.
What they did do is kind of, I didn't mind that plot so much. I just wish he like at a certain point, Howard seems to turn her into like a needless roadblock.
Yeah, exactly.
Like she just at one point, Marissa Tomei's character is married to Michael Keaton. She's trying to get him to go to dinner with his parents, with her, and have a night away. And he's in the middle of this massive story that's going to change the lives of these two people, these two young black men. If they run Gotcha, which is the headline that they already have.
Right.
over their names, it makes it look like these kid actually did it when they didn't, and they now know that they didn't.
Right.
Because they did go get a quote from a news from a source at the police department.
Mm-hmm.
So they know they didn't do it, so they're gonna run the wrong story. And he's trying to stop that from happening, and his wife is like, "No, you need to stay here and have dinner."
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, dude, the presses are running and you know this.
And she knows this because she worked there. It's like, she knows what it means. She probably married him because of how fucking crazy he was about the news and getting the lead stories. So, yeah, it does seem a little bit...
It's contrived.
Yeah.
It's contrived to give the movie a roadblock. And it really, it demeans her character to do that.
Right.
The fuck? IMDb started playing an ad. What the fuck?
Oh shit! I'm like, no!
This ad starts. When did IMDb start having vocal ads that you don't click on?
I've never. Like, I'm on. Oh wait, I have it on over here.
What the fuck, dude?
Oh, I did. That is so weird. Wow. Anyway.
What was I saying?
We were talking. The whole her kind of.
This movie pushes to 2 hours long for no good reason.
Was it really 2 hours?
It was an hour 56.
It felt shorter than that to me.
Hmm.
But maybe that's because I had to go to the bathroom a lot.
Oh my god!
I don't know. I had tummy shame.
Anyway.
I made a tummy shake.
We've also got the subplot with Robert Duvall. He's got cancer. He's the top editor above Glenn Close and Michael Keaton. And again, what did this add to the story?
I don't know. Like, again, take away the pregnancy. And if we're going to have to deal with cancer, can we have a cancer side quest? Like, just do that. And then we have not only that, but then we have a whole other storyline with him and his daughter.
Well, he's got cancer and he's going to die. And he wants to talk to his daughter and tell her, but he doesn't because. You know, reasons.
Reasons.
And he finds out that, you know, he's given up his entire life. I guess they're doing that kind of in a TV way of counterpointing, you know, what Michael Keaton is up against. Like, mm-hmm. This could be you if you don't try to change what you're doing. Like, are they shaming Michael Keaton? Maybe that's what this was all about, is shaming Michael Keaton for being too passionate. I don't know. That seems to be the message here to him, is like, what's happening to Duvall is a message to him. Like, don't take so much time away from your family to be a newspaper guy. But at the same time, he's also right because he's, you know, trying to get the story right.
Yeah.
I don't know. That seems it's a weird, needless counterpoint. And again, the whole Duvall thing could be lifted out of the movie and you still. Yeah, you have the same plot that you're playing with here.
Yeah, and I don't know why, but for some reason I remembered it that Glenn Close was the. It's just a hand. It's literally just a hand. Like, the rest of him didn't want to come back. He's like, you know what? You take care of this. And I hose. Are we recording now?
Yeah.
I had a great idea.
Would you mind continuing your point?
Well. No, I forgot what I was. Oh, so I do, for me, with Glenn Close, as annoying as she was to me in this film.
A handsome woman.
A very handsome woman, Glenn Close. I could understand why she was the way she was. There was that whole, there still is that whole thing where it's a man and a woman up against, you know, each other to make a call. And of course, even though she's making the wrong, and she has to know she's making the wrong call, but she makes the call, and then, you know, because she has to win.
Her backstory is that she was like a reporter and an editor, and you know, on the ground doing what Keaton does, that for years, and then she got bumped up to being management, and as a manager, she's got to be in charge of the budget, and when the budget's too high and you're losing money, she's got to make the money call over the. Journalistic call, and of course she has to get shamed for that.
Yeah Lots of power suits in this, though, too. She looked great in power suits.
She's a handsome woman.
Very handsome woman. Great hair handsome hair, if you will.
So that's her backstory. Like then, yeah. You know, but I don't think that, again, it's another backstory that's not particularly well handled.
Right.
Because they don't really set up, well, just what, you know, her backstory is. And I picked all that up, of course, but I don't think it was well presented. I think it kind of rushed to get there. Like her conversations with McDougal, Randy Quaid,
mm-hmm.
RIP. He's not dead.
Oh,
he's dead to me.
Yeah, he's dead to me too. Actually,
he's
yeah.
actually put him on the cut list.
Oh yeah, I thought he was already on there. It's at the end of the table there. I'm pretty sure we put him on there already. Yeah.
He touched the cut list in a while.
I know. Let's make sure we didn't.
But yeah, put him on there if he's not.
Bob Schneider, J.K. Rowling, Bill Maher.
Anyway.
Yeah. Jared Leto.
The conversation that he's having with her, and he's kind of shaming her for not being a reporter anymore because she's too much of a bean counter. I just thought that was underpresented in terms of, you know, her position. Like, they throw in this whole thing about her having an affair for no good reason. That goes nowhere.
Nowhere. It meant literally nothing. Like,
then she's trying to...
No payoff, no anything.
Yeah, she's trying to get a raise, and not, no one's, you know, taking her seriously on that. And again, that goes nowhere. Is she getting the raise, not getting the raise? Did she get in trouble for stopping the presses or starting the presses and stopping them again?
Right.
We still don't know if she's fully okay. She got...
Shot in the leg. Again, another fucking side quest. Randy Quaid is a columnist who's been writing about fucking parking because the parking people in New York scratched his car. And so he spent 3 weeks writing out columns, pounding on this guy, Sandusky, the head of New York parking. And that whole plot is happening.
Which is fucking unhinged and makes again, we could have lifted that we didn't need it.
Well, it's a very New York thing too, which I guess that you want to kind of have that kind of New York color to it, I guess, but at the same time, is it needed? Does this does this further the story we're telling?
Look, I spent time in Brooklyn. I took the subway. I didn't have to park anywhere. Just take the subway, you dumbass. that's my answer.
And also, I mean, they definitely show him, like, just parking wherever the fuck you want.
Well,
like,
I mean, yeah.
He's parked in the middle of the street directly in front of the Sun Building, the New York Sun Building.
Yeah, it wasn't really.
And then
a
he's
space.
All pissed off when they tow his car. I'm like, what were they supposed to do? Like, there are other people in the world, asshole.
Yeah. Oh, Randy Quaid, the main character. Wow. Little did we know. Yeah.
But again, these are all things like that you know, would like make up for plots in an episode of a long going series. And this is a movie. And in a movie, these things all get sort of short shrifted.
You're right. This could have been a fun little mini series on NBC. You know what I mean? Mid-season replacement, you know? Yeah, it didn't warrant a film. Having said that, again, Michael Keaton was fucking awesome in it. He has some serious Michael Keaton moments in this movie that make me so happy. I love when he freaks out about things because he just goes a little bit mad and you could just see his eyes like kind of just twitch. And I absolutely adore him for that. I love moments where Michael Keaton loses his shit. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go and watch Mr. Mom because that's one of the best fucking movies of all time. So, yeah. Outside of that, though... I mean, great performances. There wasn't a bad actor in the bunch, okay?
Yeah.
Not one. So 89% Rotten Tomatoes. Average grade of a B+ on the A to F scale. Let's see. Jay Carr from the Boston Globe said it takes a certain panache to incorporate the ever-present threat of your own extinction into the giddy tradition of a newspaper comedy, but the paper pulls it off. There's no point in pretending that I'm objective about this one. I know it's not Citizen Kane, but it pushes my buttons.
So. Roger Ebert gave it 3.5 stars. He's obviously a guy who's spent a lot of time in newsrooms and loves this sort of thing. So I think this was a soft touch for newspaper critics for sure.
Can I ask you, how does it stand up next to other films that are in, let's say, news, media, that kind of thing?
I think that nothing has touched James L. Brooks, broadcast news. Like that's kind of the gold standard.
That is the gold standard, isn't it? It really is.
Then you've got, you know, His Girl Friday.
Yeah.
Is that the one I'm thinking of, right?
I think. Oh, with the
Cary Grant.
Yeah.
Like, that's a newspaper one. I can't really think of many newspaper movies off the top of my head. Oh, Spotlight with Michael Keaton.
Oh, right.
Which is probably the best. That's probably the best one in terms of newspaper movies.
There's one that I'm forgetting, though, that I thought came out in the 2000s. And maybe it's just not hitting me.
Hmm.
Ben Affleck wasn't in it. Rosario Dawson was in it, though. Russell Crowe was in it.
Oh, The Insider.
The Insider.
That was not a newspaper. That was CBS.
Was it? Oh, okay.
That was it's 60 like Minutes. Yeah, but same.
Media. Same, yeah, just trying to get the story,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I thought that was quite good.
Zodiac with
yeah.
Dan Fincher.
Yeah, you got Downey and Ruffalo, and yeah, you got everybody in that one. Fucking great movie. You need to see that.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah. Yeah, pre-Roadhouse Jake Gyllenhaal. That's the way we're going to announce him from now on, by the way. Jake, you did some great stuff, and all of a sudden we got Roadhouse.
Why would anybody make Roadhouse?
It's like he was desperate.
They didn't even include one single character who went into a closet to have anal sex with a woman. Woo! And said that she was his regular Saturday night thing.
That's my favorite line. So no one said it in the film?
It's the greatest compliment anyone could give a woman. He's in the middle of having sex with her in the back room, and he goes, boy, I'm going to make you my regular Saturday night thing.
God. Every
as he's
time.
Pounding away on her.
Honestly, it's celluloid magic. It's like one of the greatest things you have ever seen. And the minute he says it, you're just like, yes, sir.
It's like in the grand tradition of sleaze movies. Like yeah. That is such a that line drips with so much sleaze.
God.
It comes only. It's second only to a line from Showgirls. Do you know Showgirls?
Oh, I love
Showgirls. I know exactly is a movie doing. about a stripper. Essentially, she's a stripper who goes to Las Vegas to find her fortune, and she's finds herself acting in this big Vegas production where she gets the lead, and her old boss and another stripper friend come to visit her, and her boss is looking at this new place she's working at and looks at her and goes, but it's nice to work at a place where they don't come on you.
Oh, I want that on a t-shirt. Oh, so good. It's no throat.
In a dripping font.
Yeah. Hey, I know an artist who could do that.
Jeff is listening.
Jeff is listening.
New merch idea, Jeff.
Oh my God. And the whole regular Saturday that, especially when it's set on Mystery Science Theater, is one of the greatest things of all time. They'll just throw that shit in there and you're like, oh wow. It's great to hear robots say that. Make you my regular Saturday night thing. They actually wrote a song about Patrick Swayze and Roadhouse. It's fantastic.
Why remake Roadhouse? You know, I was telling somebody else, it's like remaking The Room. Like, you can't recapture that kind of magic where no. It's just like this guy making a movie. He has no real talent, but he has also just this absolute endless bravado and confidence that he can make a movie.
It's lightning in a bottle, it's that fucking bottle. Movie.
You can't recreate that.
No, you cannot.
You can't recreate the sleazy brilliance of Roadhouse in this way. You can't treat this in an earnest fashion like this is just another action movie. This isn't Walking Tall.
No. Right. Like, right.
Walking Tall, you can make that anytime and it's fine. But
Roadhouse
is a sleazy masterpiece. And if you don't have the sleaze, I'm sorry, it doesn't work without the sleaze.
Yes, you're right.
Ben Gazzara dripping with sleaze.
Oh God, he's so moist in that movie. And he's in the car and he's driving down the road, he's like just singing at the top of his lungs, yeah. And he's very moist. We have to make you watch Roadhouse.
Sam Elliott?
Sam fucking Elliott.
There's no Sam Elliott in this movie.
Okay, then there's no point to that. You have to have Sam Elliott. He has to die at the end of your movie. It's important. God, Mom used to think Sam Elliott was the most gorgeous man on earth. She'd go, oh, Amy, he's so cool. So cool.
Conor McGregor is in this movie, the MMA fighter.
Oh, he's Irish.
And it's just him, Irish. This is an introduction. It's him. He's Irish. He's drunk. He's naked. He's walking through the streets punching people.
Why wasn't Robert Sheen in this movie? Can I? Really? Yeah. Robbie wants to be naked everywhere. This would have been his time. Fuck you, Conor McGregor. Miscast. Plus, you're not a fucking actor, are you? Is he an actor?
He's not an actor, no. He's very bad in this movie. don't even tell him I said that. Because he's a famously got a temper.
He does have a temper. All right, Connor. Fuck you, dude. Bring it. I'll fight you. My man Robbie take you down when it comes to being naked. He looks better than you, I guarantee it. I will egg you on, I'm sorry. Anyway, are we done talking about the paper then?
No, we're still talking about the paper. We're gonna side quest.
I love side. Well, we have been side questing. This made the top 10 films of the Roanoke Times in 1994.
The Roanoke Times.
Well, we all give a shit about the Roanoke Times. Let us not forget the many stories that they've written.
Totally know what that is.
The Munster Times. Is that like as in
Munster cheese? No.
Oh, it's Munster, Indiana. I thought it was Muncie. Oh no, there is a Munster. But see, I was thinking of Munster, Ireland, because you know that's where my head goes every time.
Ireland.
Disgusting. My heart's there. It's there. Let's go there. Let's go now. Let's just leave Sean to finish the podcast. Let's go now.
Do you have a favorite Ron Howard movie?
You know what? Let me. I don't think I do, but we're gonna bring them up, and I'm gonna look at them. so far, no.
You don't have a favorite Ron Howard movie?
Am I supposed to?
I mean, most people do.
I'm looking at a lot of these and going, yeah, these all suck. Not The Da Vinci Code. Okay, A Beautiful Mind. Did he do that?
Yeah.
Okay. That was good. He did Katy Perry's Part of Me? He did not. That was good.
Frost Nixon is his best movie.
Frost Nixon is his best fucking... I didn't know that was him. I fucking love that movie.
Frost Nixon is a killer movie.
That is the only... Oh my God, that's the first time I ever saw Michael Sheen in anything, and I loved him so much. And then it's the only film that could make you even remotely feel bad for Richard Nixon. Like, like you shouldn't, and you definitely shouldn't, but like in that movie, there's a moment where he's so vulnerable, and I'm like... Why do I feel bad for him? I mean, I felt bad for him. Frost Nixon's fantastic. I would say that is probably his best, easily.
Yeah, I definitely. He's not had a great run lately, but like he did this boat movie with Chris Hemsworth. It was just kind of like, whatever.
Yeah.
And I honestly have a hard time recalling his other films.
Let's see. We've got all the dumbass Da Vinci Code shits. The Good Lie with Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, that sounds familiar, but again.
Well, she was a brunette in that film. We always forget about you when you go brunette, honey. Except for Overnight Delivery, which of course stars Paul Rudd. So anyway, Dads. Do you remember the movie Dads?
No.
Dads is an American documentary film by Bryce Dallas Howard. Okay, well, that doesn't help me at all, does it? We Feed People? What is that?
Yep, I think you're not even looking at his directorial credits, are you?
It says movies Ron Howard. He's Opie, all right.
Oh, he'll never not be Opie. You know Opie? Opie was this character on a TV show from the 1950s called Andy Griffith.
Ah, Opie. Okay.
See, now look at how Clint Howard was so cute there. How the fuck do you go from that?
Don't be mean to what we just saw. Stop being mean to Clint Howard.
Clint, wear a hat. I'm not asking that much. I'm sorry. I'm not.
The Andy Griffith Show had this running bit where they had a town drunk. They would just arrest him every day, and he'd just like slept in the jail. And then he'd wake up in the morning, and he'd open up his jail cell and walk out and. They'd say, hey, see you later. Hey, we'll see you later.
The town drunk.
Yeah.
The town drunk. We all have one. Ours still is alive and lives down the street. No one knows how he's still alive. Live action Barney down there.
He's pickled.
He's pickled and preserved.
MJ, do you have a favorite scene in the movie?
Hmm.
You don't. Just say you don't.
No. I thought it was an okay movie, but I don't know, the favorite scene.
You've grown up in an era where there are no newspapers.
See, when a newspaper, yeah. When a newspaper and a newspaper love each other very much.
Where do you get your news from?
Usually, my friends will say something, and I'll be like, what? And they'll be like, yeah, I read this online. And I'll be like, what? Yeah, all from other people. I don't read anything. I don't pay attention until somebody tells me things. Probably not great, but, you know, it's fine.
You are the main character.
Do you want to be the main character?
I don't know. It's scary. It looks scary.
Yeah.
Did you get a sense of what journalism looks like from this movie?
Well, I worked at a fake newspaper in sixth grade at Biztown.
Biztown.
I was the CEO of the newspaper.
How old were you?
Biztown. I was 12.
Of course you were.
I was 12.
Yeah. Were you imperious? I own this paper. Go do what I tell you to do.
No, because I had a CFO that was supposed to know all the important information, and then he disappeared for a minute, and I had to go find him because I didn't know what I was doing.
Like all CEOs, this is kind of actually perfect.
Oh, that's great.
It was very realistic. It was like they taught him the financial information and not me. There was something that they taught him that they didn't teach me. And I'm like, oh, cool. I signed the check.
You're the best. You know that? You really are the best.
I imagine this had to be like Homer when he took over the sanitation department. They let me sign checks with a stamp, Marge. A stamp.
Yes. Oh, God, that's so great. It's even more timely because I'm going back and watching The Simpsons again, and you just forget about some of those great lines. Damn it.
That's a Steve Martin episode.
That's right. One of the best episodes right there. Fuck yeah.
I'm happy to leave you all to rot. Good day.
Yes.
And so they end it just by moving the town. They just pick up all of the Springfield and move it down the road to get away from the trash.
So good. It's such a great idea. God damn it.
It's like you in this house. Ah!
Thanks. You know, the great thing about this house, though, is that I'll just pick myself up and just go to another town and fuck this house. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah.
Amy's house is falling down. That's why she has a Patreon.
It's quite literally full of shit. Yeah, I am taking donations, by the way. Anything to get me out of this town. I'll never get out of this town. I'm gonna die here, aren't I?
Oh God, here we go. Moving on to the paper.
Get away from that now before it
get me out of this town. What if it is too late? What if it is?
So they stopped the presses. And he got to yell, stop the presses, which is a big thing back in the day.
I love that moment.
I'm not sure exactly where this notion comes from.
Yeah.
I know it's a notion because, like, if you're going to change the front page, you got to stop the presses, you know. But it became a thing, like, I don't know, from, like, the 1930s or the 50s or something where somebody said
like that. Yeah.
And then it just, like, kept, it became like a old-timey meme. Stop the presses became as a way to tell people that we need to change the headline. Like, yeah. There's a new headline now. The new big story. Stop the presses. Stop we got a new presses. Big story. I don't know the etymology of it. I don't.
You know what? You're going to find out.
Oh, boy. Amy's going to look up the origin of stop the presses.
I have a job to do as an assistant, and this is just one of them. Stop the presses. High volume newspaper printing press. Stop the presses is an idiomatic exclamation when significant information is discovered. The phrase stems from the printed news media industry, and it came from it came from. That's where you ended? Oh, okay. So, yeah, the content of the issue needed to be revised just before during printing press was stopped. Such as changing the plates or the type before restarting it. Yeah, reasons to stop the print. Yeah. But
it doesn't say where it came from.
There's no date. Doesn't say how
it became like a thing. Like nobody said it in a movie or something.
It doesn't say.
Well, that's not very helpful. It's kind of like trying to find the definition of the word boobs online.
No, we already talked about that now.
So I was listening to this podcast the other day where they were talking about this movie where there was a lot of boobs in the movie and led to the question, where did the term boobs come from? And what would be the etymology of the word boobs in relation to women's breasts?
Yeah.
And like, there's no natural, like, what doesn't seem like there's any kind of natural, like, way to get from breasts to boobs, does there?
Not really.
Not like a link in a chain. So I was like, I gotta know what this is. I gotta know what the etymology is. So I went to Google, and Google is just lying. They just put a lie into the world.
Okay.
So they said that the word boob comes from a mispronunciation of the word bubbles.
Oh, I think I've heard of that before.
Bubble, 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 bubble.
So somebody who doesn't know how to pronounce bubbles
right.
came up with boobs.
But I want you to think logically about this, though. Someone would have had to written that conversation down at some point. Someone would have had taken that story and said, oh, I mispronounced the word bubbles and it came out boobles.
Boobles. Now I wish they were called boobles. I would say boobles
but
or
who
bruise.
Wrote that down? Who wrote down this misunderstanding over the word bubbles that became boobs? Someone wrote that down. No, they didn't. You made it up. You made it up. You're lying, Google. And we know you're lying because Amy looked up the Wikipedia for boobs.
Because that's what an assistant does. She looks up things on Wikipedia. Because I was going to say, if I don't believe the story, I was just going to update it on Wikipedia. I was just going to change the whole meaning and make up another story in my head. That was the plan. But yeah, it turns out has to do with croquet, playing croquet, and the balls, they're shaped.
When a ball doesn't go all the way through the wicket, they call it a boob.
A boob.
A boobie.
A boobie.
And then you see two balls together, and you put that together with the two breasts on a woman's chest. Boobs.
Oh, okay. That's a natural progression.
Boobies becomes boobs.
Yeah. Or a boob can mean an idiot, which means I've got two idiots on my chest right now, which would be kind of hot. Anyway. Yeah.
Now let's get to the other big question. Where does the butt start?
No.
No,
because I started going off on the whole penis thing, because I was like, you know, cock, dong, prick, horn. I was thinking, like, oh, it's like, where did penis come from?
I think that's the actual Latin.
Yeah, it is. I looked that one up. But, you know,
so that's why penis is in Amy's search history.
Yeah, I mean, and cock. There's a lot of cock in my search history, I'm not going to lie. Because then it just took me down like a rabbit hole of like fowl, like birds. And then I found like, you know, the titmouse and the morning cock.
So wait, they see, like, would you say that somebody saw two titmouses together and like,
well, let's face, titmouses are pendular and fluffy. Like a bag of sand. Have you ever actually touched a breast? And it feels like a bag of sand. I'm sorry.
I think people were using that line against this guy on TikTok. So there's like this TikTok dating coach. Yes, we are on a tangent. Get over it.
Yeah, we don't care.
There's this dating coach on TikTok, and he was like, he started off, don't accept her reality. If she rejects you,
yeah,
don't I've accept heard of this. Her reality. Yeah, and everybody's just like, this guy's never touched a woman before.
Oh,
and
my God. I did. I just saw that the other night.
There was this lesbian that owned him, though, really hard. She was, because she's looking at his fingernails. You can see him, like, he's tenting his fingers like an evil supervillain as he says this. And she's like, I can tell from your fingernails you've not touched a woman. Oh. And I can tell you why. And these are the lesbian fingers. You see the larger fingernails here and no fingernails here. There's a reason for that.
Oh, God. Oh. Honestly, I don't want a UTI, you know? God.
Pause. Earth.
I don't know. You guys would always be... Oh, when Sean had to explain to me what a cesarean section was. That's
what the C means.
That's right. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. I really thought it was something else. I have Instagram up, and somebody's update on Instagram was, I hope I have sex again someday. That's all. That's all it says. Just black text. That's it.
I mean, of course, this is true. Ron Howard. Who was Ron Howard's first choice to play Michael Keaton's character?
Clint.
Ah!
No. Russell Crowe. Henry Winkler.
Tom Hanks.
Oh, obviously. God, that was right in front of my face, wasn't it? Damn it. That's true.
Very obvious. It was the most obvious choice. Do you know why Ron Howard hasn't seen this movie since 1994 when it came out? So Ron Howard hasn't seen the paper since then because to him, quote, it's a perfect film.
What?
Oh, honey, no. No.
What?
He said it's a perfect film.
Oh,
that's cute. That's cute. Not true.
Really?
Honey, no.
Let's see. Other actors considered for Michael Keaton's role. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Alec Baldwin. Kevin Costner.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mel Gibson.
Yeah. All the white guys. All the white guys.
Bill Paxton. Kurt Russell. John Travolta, and Robin Williams, who turned it down to make Mrs. Doubtfire.
Thank God, because honestly, I don't think I could take his energy in this movie. I really fucking couldn't.
Yes, but this could have saved us from Mrs. Doubtfire.
It wouldn't have saved us. We would have had to watch it anyway.
He might not have made Mrs. Doubtfire. No, he was going to always make that.
He was always going to make it, let's face it. That was in his trajectory. God willed it.
Maybe we would have had to watch it the year after.
Oh,
it would still be in the future then.
That's true. That's
terrifying.
True.
The terrifying reality there.
Yeah.
We hate Mrs. Doubtfire still.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the worst movies of all time. It just is.
Trash.
It just is.
Just trash. It's weird. Is it weird seeing Jason Alexander in this movie, like, at the height of Seinfeld fame?
Yeah, well.
In, like, this very small, sweaty role.
He's just so moist. He's so moist, and again, it doesn't make sense. It's such a needless...
It's New York in the summer,
yeah.
And in summer, this was shot in the summer of 1993. It does make sense that everybody would be super fucking sweaty.
I'm not super fucking sweaty.
Have you ever been in a press room? My God, the heat coming off the machines, printing the newspapers.
Look, you and I have both worked in radio studios. And those things get fucking hot in there. They really do. I would have to have fans in there because they were just all of that equipment, especially when I was working at Muscatine, like they had like the old like 1950s equipment. So everything was hot all the time. Yeah. Fuck that station, by the way. But yeah. Yeah, that's true. But I mean, more. There should be some AC going in there. There should be some AC. Please give me some AC.
A ton of people in there. Like, it wasn't like the bodies were heating everything up.
Exactly.
There was like three people.
Right.
The plot just didn't even deserve a set piece, though. The whole plot didn't need it.
You're right.
Glenn Close didn't need to get shot in the leg. There was that didn't.
I thought for sure they were going to kill her. Like I, when that gunshot went off and you could hear her make a noise, I'm like, So the paper won't ever get to change. Like, it's going to go to press that it's going to say, gotcha, and Glenn Close is dead. And I'm like, what a weird fucking way to end a movie. Because the tone is rather lighthearted for the most part, you know? So
the lighthearted the paper.
The lighthearted the paper. Yes, correct.
The score for this movie is overwhelming.
Thank you, Randy Newman.
It is bombastic.
There was
bombastic.
Was it bombastic? Because of the song. That's why I hate it.
There's just too many. Oh my god! The kid that I work with, she says bombastic side eye.
From that way. Super bombastic side eye. I've seen that.
No! Shut up! I don't like the word. I didn't really like it to begin with. I don't like the double B in there. And then more after that. No.
Don't like the word.
Don't like the. Ugh.
Hard pass.
You know, like it's kind of getting on my nerves that I don't understand. I know where it came from, and I understand, like, wanting to celebrate the creator because he's a very funny man, but. Could we all agree that he's the only one allowed to use Delulu as delusional? He's the only one. Let him use it. It's his thing. Stop using it.
Who did it? Who's heard?
Other people are doing it. Just a lot of other people are using Delulu.
I've heard that too. And I will never understand because I just think that the word itself, delusional, is gorgeous. I think it's a beautiful word.
Very, very evocative.
Yes.
To so the point. He's very funny the way he uses it, but he's him. Let him use it that way.
I don't know who started it, actually.
It's this African creator on TikTok. And he was just, he would react to people's stories. And if somebody was being outlandish, he would just say, Delulu.
Delulu.
I think I know who that
is. Yeah, he's funny. He's a very funny guy. And I've used this word now multiple times, and I don't want to. But it's only to complain that he should be the only one using it.
Agreed.
He's the only one who uses it right. He's the only one who uses it well.
And he should just be left to his own devices.
Exactly.
Yes, I agree.
Stop stealing his uniqueness by stealing his word. Again, further tangent. By the way, have you seen the ads for Quickstar lately? On the outside of the Quickstar?
No.
Their chicken has Riz.
No, it doesn't. God. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Don't ever say that again. No. No.
Just slap that big marketing dick right across my face.
Oh, God. Riz. That fucking word. Yeah, the only person that I don't mind saying that is Cody. Cody Co can say it. It doesn't bother me. But anybody else says it, I
first of all,
it.
It's way too close to jizz.
Yep.
And yeah. I don't want jizz on my chicken.
Jizz on my chicken.
Oh, God.
Chicken jizz.
But also, that's not the only one.
No.
Because their chicken also slaps.
Oh.
You go sit in your car. I have said a song slaps, so I have said that before. Oh, man, that slaps! I have said it.
Uh-huh. I've never used that phrase. I hadn't used the word riz until last night either, and I did not enjoy it.
Why did you have to say it? God, you look so sad.
Harper was talking to the cat, and she was... She was flirting with the cat.
Oh.
And I was like, did you just do that? Did you really just flirt with the cat? Yeah. I've never, no.
And then you said, you got the riz.
No.
I said, clearly.
The cat right now. And she said, yeah.
Oh,
and
no.
I'm like, no.
just no.
No.
Please no.
No, and your chicken does not have Riz.
Your chicken doesn't have Riz.
No chicken.
No.
I only use it once as a joke on the other podcast because I said that the dog in Arthur the King has Riz. He does. He's a very charismatic dog. I appreciated him. He's a very charismatic dog. He's got Riz.
He got Riz. Wow, that's crazy.
Why?
Absolutely crazy.
Why though? Why marketers? There's this guy, there's this brilliant comedian, Bill Hicks, and he had this whole routine where he's like, oh, hey, are you in marketing? Kill yourself.
Yeah. I loved that bit. Loved that bit. God damn
it. He comes on for a good 4 minutes just telling marketers why they should kill themselves. You're actively making the world a worse place.
Yes. Go to the top of the tallest building you can find and jump. Yep. Oh, that's funny.
And it's hard to defend, you know, when somebody says the chicken's got Riz.
Because it doesn't.
It's, no.
It doesn't.
Just no.
No.
Human.
Stop no. trying to go viral with everything.
Stop trying to make fetch happen. She doesn't even go here. I'm sorry, I watched Mean Girls the other night. Fucking love that movie.
Again, we're on a tangent.
Don't. Event. Fuck that new one.
So any final thoughts on the paper?
Yeah, I mean, it's not one that you're going to watch again.
I don't hate it.
Yeah.
I don't.
It's just there.
It feels like a TV show to me and not a movie.
Agreed.
It's too much of a TV show and not enough of a movie for me.
Agreed.
MJ, final thoughts?
It was fun.
It's not gonna be on your mind for the rest of the day, is it? No. No.
It's gonna leave pretty quickly after I have a nap, it's gonna be gone.
You will have forgotten it by then. Yeah.
But it's not bad.
No, not at all. I would tell people to see it, you know. Watching it? Yeah, if they're like, oh, I have to watch the paper. I'm like, oh, you won't mind it, you know. It's like a black Starbucks coffee. It's fine. You know?
It's a functional movie.
It's a functional movie. It does. It absolutely does. Absolutely.
That's the nicest thing we're going to say.
So, what's the next movie then?
Oh, would you like to watch Clifford or Major League 2?
God, neither. Neither. So I guess Major League 2.
Major League 2?
Why would I want to watch fucking Clifford?
I don't know.
Clifford.
Who is in Clifford? Is that Martin Short?
Martin Short plays
a little annoying kid.
He plays a little boy. You know Martin Short. He plays a little boy.
Maybe I do want to see Clifford.
I think we have to watch Clifford.
I love Martin Short, so that would be fucking fun.
And I think Charles Grodin.
I guess, yes. I kept thinking it was like the big red dog when you said that. So that's why I was a little bit confused. Clifford the Big Red Dog.
It's interesting.
I know he's annoying in it. That's all I remember.
That's one thing I know about it.
Yeah, he was really
annoying. I've heard some people call it the hidden gem of the 90s.
I'm ready for it. All okay, right. We're doing Clifford. We're fucking doing Clifford. Yeah, fuck it.
Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Yep.